Perhaps you've heard this new phrase that's come into our vocabulary, social distancing. I'm not sure if it existed prior to last week, but all of a sudden it's everywhere. And it occurred to me that Catholics actually should be very comfortable with social distancing, because there's nothing we enjoy more than coming into a big church and sitting as far away from another person as is humanly possible. But all kidding aside, these times are certainly difficult, and perhaps we're struggling with the anxiety of this time, maybe because we don't know what to do, or we feel like we should do something but can't, whatever the situation might be. But we look into church history and we see that we've actually been in a lot worse situations before in our church history. And when we look at that, what do we see? Well, we see recourse to two things. The first is prayer. Our recourse always first must be to prayer. Praying for those who have died, praying for those who are ill, praying for those who are working to fight this virus and its spread. This Thursday, we celebrate the feast of St. Joseph, the great patron and protector of the church. Perhaps we could ask for his intercession. Archbishop Lori has asked all the Catholics of the Archdiocese, beginning tomorrow, to pray a novena to the Blessed Virgin Mary for protection. You can find that novena on the Archdiocese website. So prayer must always be our first recourse. And secondly, when you look back into church history, you see many saints during very difficult times of, for example, the plague, where they would do tremendous works of mercy. They would go out to be with the victims, to minister to them. I'm not advocating that you put yourself in harm's way, but I am advocating that works of mercy and charity are possible for all of us. You know, perhaps it's the elderly person who can't go to the grocery store. Perhaps you could do their grocery shopping, or parents who all of a sudden have children to take care of at home for 2 weeks, or just being with someone during this time. Those sorts of acts of mercy are also what's called for during these times of difficulty. So I hope you might remember that, maybe when you're feeling anxious, prayer and works of mercy. This Lent, if you recall, we are journeying through the characters and the stories of the Old Testament in our homily series called In the Beginning. These stories are stories about our ancestors in faith. So they have something to say to the faith that we live each and every day. On the first Sunday of Lent, we heard the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and how from the beginning, through their sin, they sent humanity on a trajectory away from God, fundamentally turning us in on ourselves to be inwardly focused. Last Sunday, we heard about Abram and that great act of faith of Abram, how he moved his whole family 700 plus miles away because God asked him to do it. And then in the gospel last Sunday, we heard about the apostles Peter, James, and John, who were nowhere near as willing to be trusting. They were not willing to pick up the cross and follow after Jesus. Remember, they went up onto the mountain and saw the transfiguration, and they had much rather to stay there on the mountain. Peter said, let's build tents. Let's stay here. We don't want to go down into the valley of suffering. Today, we're continuing our series by focusing on Moses. God called Moses to lead his people out of slavery in Egypt. Moses led the people out into the desert, where they wandered for 40 years. And that's where we pick up the story in today's first reading. Naturally, there wasn't a whole lot of water in the desert. So the people begin to complain. And they say that they remember the ample supply of water that they had in Egypt. And they actually long to return to that place of slavery, just to have that physical need satisfied. in this sort of warped way of thinking, their slavery seemed better than freedom because they were focused simply on their physical needs. But Moses prays and God gives them water in the desert. That water fed that physical need temporarily, but it didn't address their spiritual need. Their spiritual need to trust in God and in Moses to see them safely through to the land that God had promised them. The story of Moses is fundamentally a story about faith and trust in God. As many great leaders throughout history, Moses didn't want to lead the people. He didn't think he was qualified. But he does know that God asked him to do it. And he is confident that God can accomplish the mission if he wants him to do it. So he goes and he stands up to Pharaoh. He leads the people out. He leads them to the edge of the promised land. But Moses, too, is far from perfect. And after all of this, he has a moment of doubt. And he himself never sets foot in the promised land. In our gospel today, we also hear a lot about water. We hear that Jesus goes to this Samaritan town and is sitting at the side of Jacob's well, and he meets this woman there. The woman's thirst brings her to the well, and Jesus is there waiting for her. She wants to drink the water that he is offering, because then she won't have to keep coming back to the well. Very practical reaction on her part. And the question that Jesus asks, the question about her husband, opens up a door of conversation. It opens up for her to realize what she is really thirsting for and how she's been looking in all of the wrong places. Jesus brings her along gradually to recognize that the living water that he's speaking about is not really water, but faith in him. She's been looking for happiness in all of the wrong places. The six relationships she's had with different husbands obviously didn't bring her happiness. And when she realizes what Jesus is offering, she's compelled then to go out and tell other people. The desire to be happy is a powerful, motivating force in our lives. That desire is written into our heart by God. Remember the story of Adam and Eve. When they sinned, what did they do? They hid themselves from God. Our ultimate happiness is to be found in God alone. But because of original sin, we have to let ourselves be found by him. Because happiness with God is a part of our human nature, we search for it. And we too can search in all of the wrong places. The thirsty Israelites in the desert would have been content to go back into slavery just to find that moment of happiness, of having their thirst quenched. The woman at the well, she hopped from bed to bed to bed to try to find happiness. But ultimately, she's unhappy, and she's damaged by those relationships. It's being in right relationship with God that will make us truly happy. During Lent, we want to address those areas where we have been searching for happiness in all of the wrong places and get back in right relationship with God, especially through the sacrament of reconciliation. There are so many legitimate things in our world that make us happy. God has provided them for us. They're meant to remind us of the ultimate happiness of being with him forever. But we as human beings can take those legitimate things and turn them into idols. And we can worship them. Money, vacation, relaxation time, the admiration of others, the internet, television, games, you name it. But then there are other things which are inherently bad for us, and they're always false idols. These things are things that we think will make us happy, but they really leave us damaged. Pornography, drugs, sins of the flesh, things of those nature. We sometimes use them to escape from our difficulties. They trick us. They trick us into thinking that they will make us happy, but they only leave us unhappier in the end. What we should want is to be in right relationship with God, to drink the living water that Jesus offers. The Israelites would get thirsty again in the desert, even after they drank that water that Moses gave them. But when we approach Jesus to drink of the living water, he will not leave us thirsty. And often coming to Jesus to drink of this water involves repentance. And the woman at the well had to learn that lesson. The repentance of a firm resolution to turn from the false happiness we have been seeking. In the beginning, God created us to be happy with him. Moses strikes the rock, and his water provides temporary happiness. Jesus says in the gospel, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Yes, Lord, may we drink of the living water you provide, and may it bring us happiness in this life and eternal happiness with you in heaven.